I have considered this a time of refreshing for me every year because it gives me joy to bring folk who have been instrumental in my life to share with folk who are currently instrumental in my life. And you all, over the last 11 years, have met my pastor, Reverend Richmond Brown. You all have met my youth minister who knew me when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You all have met others from Holy Light, and you will hear another from Holy Light who knew me when I was in my mid-teens, our 11 o'clock preacher, Minister Bill Dandridge, who sits over here to my left. And you've met many other folk from around the country who God has used, both related by blood and spirit. But today is an even deeper sense of purpose and call, because I get a chance to introduce my first cousin. And both of us are the eldest, he the only son, and I the eldest, of the only two daughters born to Opal Armstrong. And you all have heard me talk about my grandma. This is his grandma. And you all have read some parts of my story in writing, and he too has an amazing, amazing testimony. Drugs, domestic violence, crime have riddled our family in a way that is not atypical from other families around America. But what he and I believe represent for our family is the power of God to lift us out of circumstances that were meant to destroy us. And I'm not going to tell his testimony. It's his testimony. And my cousin Ricky has been through his own valleys, as all of us have, and have climbed heavy mountains, as all of us have. But I was delighted when I understood how the Lord called him into ministry and called him out of darkness, literally, into the marvelous light. He has a testimony. And he stands here now as a husband of a beautiful wife whose name is Tanisha. He stands here, they've been married for 10 years. He stands as a father of two children, Ricky the third, who is 9 years old, and his daughter Trinity, who is 7 years old. He stands as an ex-gang member who now works on high school campuses in South Central LA, Crenshaw High, Dorsey High, as a counselor to young men and young women who are at risk. He stands as a survivor of one who had great tragedy befall his own father at a time when he was just getting that much closer to his daddy. And he stands as one who, as a cousin of mine, gives me great hope of the redemptive power of God in our lives. So it's one thing for me to have a testimony, but it's another to see God moving in another part of our families. And I need folk to understand that all of our families are not, right, immune from the challenges of this world. Somewhere in our families, we've got folk who've wrestled with substance abuse. Somewhere in our families, we've had folk, women who have been victims of domestic violence. Somewhere in our families, somebody's children have been victims of child abuse. Somewhere in our families, we've all had these tragedies befall. But when you see this brother standing here today, I want you to see how God has lifted him up and put him in a place that only God could have placed him. So it gives me great honor, great joy to introduce my first cousin, the Reverend Ricky McGregor, to the Shiloh Baptist Church. I want you to hear the word of God preached through this man of God, and let the power of God touch you as he brings forth the message from God. Let us extend our right hand and say, Lord, bless us through Reverend McGregor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's give God a praise offering as the Reverend Ricky McGregor comes to us.
Hey, Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise in this place. It is truly an honor and a privilege to stand behind God's sacred desk. I am truly proud of you, cousin. I honor you for what you have accomplished based on what you started with. I truly know that God is a God of not just a second chance, but he is truly the God of another chance. Amen. Amen. I want to congratulate you on 11 years of pastoring God's people. I know the call is not easy, and I want to congratulate you, First Lady, because behind every good man is a good woman. And behind every good woman and good man is a great God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I thank you. I bring you greetings from the Greater Metropolitan Church in Los Angeles, California, where my pastor is Daryl Keith Labatt. And I thank God you guys have been amazing in my stay here in Trenton. I truly feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Oh, come on, somebody. I said the presence of the Lord is in this place. I feel his power. I feel his presence here in this place. I thank God for the kind words, Sister Cooley. Amazing. Amazing. I thank God for everybody, for those that are here representing Los Angeles as well. I thank God for you, and I ask that you would pray for me as I pray for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I remember when Daryl would come down to Los Angeles while he was in school, and I would make sure that I either was leaving when he was coming, or I would make sure that I was not around when he got there, because I didn't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. He was on fire for God even at that time, and I knew what he would have to say, and he did not approve of the lifestyle that I was living. But yet he always shown me unconditional love. Amen. My respect level has grown for him even the more, because now I know what it is to say no to the enemy and yes to the Lord. It's not easy, church. There's times when I didn't want to say yes to God, but I had no choice. And I understand the fire that he carries, because now I understand, like Jeremiah said, that it is like fire, church, shut up in my bones. I can't get enough of the word. I can't get enough of his praise. I can't get enough of worship, because God has changed. He's changed my life. And so now I understand, cousin, when family is not around, those that loved me in the world don't come around me now that I'm in Christ. And there was a period where I did not understand, but now I understand that those that do the will of my Father, that's my family. And so I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we are family. Although thousands of miles separate us, there's one thing that we have in common on this morning, and that is the redeeming power, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I thank God. I know that God is with me, and I pray that you would stand with me on this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse and concluding at verse number 30. When you have it, say, I know it was the blood. If you still need more time, say, hold up, preacher. It's in 15:19 in my Bible. I'm not quite sure what it is in your Bible. Now, I spoke to some people on Friday. There they go. They said they would be my amen corner. And so I had to find you guys because I need your amens on this morning. My pastor has taught me whenever I go out to preach, there's two things that I must have with me. Number one is my Bible. And number two is my bag of amens. And so if you didn't bring yours, I have mine on this morning. Amen. 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 Let us read. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Version and may differ a word or two in your translation. However, I can tell you it is the infallible word of God. It says in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus is speaking. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you, somebody say you, will find rest for your souls. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in this place for your great grace and your amazing mercy. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will continue to have your way in this sanctuary. Move mightily by your spirit in this place. Oh God, reign your Shekinah glory in this place. We thank you right now in advance for the victory in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that you would hide me behind the cross, that they may not see me nor hear me, but they would hear from our living God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, we pray. And all those that agree, say amen. Amen, amen, amen. For the sake of a title on this morning, I want to submit to or use for this morning, get to know him. Get to know him. I know there are some in the house that have walked with him for years. But no matter how long you have been in Christ, no matter what capacity you have served in the ministry, there's always room for you to get to know him even the more. Amen? Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get to know him. Church, it is critical. Absolutely critical, particularly now, for the believer to understand now more than ever the need for internal rest. Not eternal, not external, but the need for internal rest. It is necessary because we all have to deal with the many issues of life. And none of us in here are exempt or excluded from the issues of life. Oh, I believe I should have got some more amens right there, because I said none of us in here, from the back door to the front door, from the youngest to the oldest, none of us in here are exempt from the crazy and wild things of life. Amen?
Amen.
Church, no, regardless your faith, your fitness, your finance, none of us in here have a future devoid of trial, tribulation, or tragedy in our life. Church, I've discovered into each life, rain will fall, storms will rise. As a matter of fact, church, the Bible tells us that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Church, tragedy and trouble are equal opportunity afflictions that practice no discrimination. Church, we do not have to seek them. And we cannot avoid them, because no matter whom you are, trouble and tragedy will find you. I believe Richard Dimperfield said it the best. He said, if it ain't one thing. Oh, come on, y'all acting like y'all don't know who that is. He said, if it ain't one thing, church, it's another, which means there's always going to be some trouble, some trial, some tribulations that we have to experience as Christians. He said, no matter who you are, it will rain on you one day. And church, I've discovered that if you have not felt tragedy or trouble or problems in your life, as the old preacher would say, just keep on living. Keep getting up every morning and going to sleep every night, and you will understand that tragedy and trouble and situations will eventually knock on your door. Church, trouble and tragedy arrive in all shapes and sizes, prices and descriptions. Some are large, some are small, some are short term, others are long term, church. Some are discernible, others are unpredictable, some are comprehensive, and others are minute. Some touch us momentarily, others just don't seem to quit. And yet, no matter who you are, where you are, and what you have achieved in life, trouble and tragedy will eventually knock at your front door. Look at our brothers and our sisters in Japan. There's all kinds of trouble and tragedy that have hit that place. And the experts say that as far as earthquake awareness and preparedness, that they are the best and have spent the most money when it comes to preparing for the tragedy they call earthquake. But church, how many of you know that the only way you can be prepared for tragedy, the only way that you can be ready for destruction, is if you have Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I don't care how much money they spend. I don't care what kind of education you have. I don't care how long your dollar is. But all I know is that the only thing that can prepare us for tragedy, for trial, and for trouble is the name of Jesus. The experts say that millions of dollars, even on the embankment, they spent so much money. And when the trial and the tragedy hit, that wall did nothing. Those that were there did not know it was coming. But those that were in Christ,
is now in heavenly places. And those that are still living and in Christ, they understand that it rains on the just and the unjust, and they still are here because God is not yet through with you. And I want to tell you on this morning, church, the only reason you're still here is because God has a divine plan for you. God has purpose for you. God does not keep us around for nothing, but God has kept you. Is there anybody in here that have been kept by the wonder working power of Jesus? He's kept us. No matter where you are, trouble is inevitable. Church, I've discovered trouble and tragedy are ubiquitous in nature, because they will show up anytime, anywhere, and with anybody. Even though you love the Lord, even though you come to church, even though you are working hard to get your life spiritually on track, you need to know right now, church, because trouble and tragedy are on your agenda. I know you're anointed. I know you know the word. I know you believe in God, but trouble and tragedy are on your agenda. And watch this, if you never experienced it, as I said before, as the old preacher would say, just keep on living. Is there anybody in the building that have experienced some trouble, but God has got you through? Oh, everybody in here, that somebody should have been able to kick over a pew or something, because everybody in the building has. Now, see, don't play with me on this morning, church. Can I preach like I'm at home, church? I just want to tell you, church, that everybody in here, folks should have jumped up. Folks should have started running, because God has kept you. God has took you from where you were. Come on, somebody. God has done some great things. You see, I don't mind looking as we would think foolish for God. I'll run, I'll shout, I'll jump, because you don't know my story, church. You don't know where I've been, and I don't know your story, but you know your story. So if nobody else shouted here, you should shout for you. For your story. Yeah, I see some wounds around here now. When Jesus came back, he showed them his hand, because they needed proof of the wound. And see, all you got to do, church, is when the enemy tries to creep, when the enemy tries to destroy you, all you got to do is look at your own circumstances. Sometimes we don't need to hear about David and Paul. We don't need to hear about those things, because you can look at yourself and see how great God has been in your life. You are your own testimony. Tap yourself on the chest and say, God did it
for me.
All of us, church, all of us will experience afflictions, tragedies, and trials. Peter said, the things we deal with are such as common to our brothers. The afflictions in life do not separate us from anyone except, watch this, listen, except we, say we, have an inner power that overrides the circumstances that are negative in our life. Is there anybody in here this morning with something on the inside? Ah, my God, my God. We have inner power, church. Let me tell you something. Anybody who does not have inner strength in today's society and today's economy and today's issues, anybody who cannot turn inside when the trials are raging on the outside, anybody who cannot find within themselves that place of security and personal trust in God, that person is going to be wiped out by the encounters or the issues or the trials in life. I say that again. Anybody who does not have anything on the inside, church, and I've discovered that whatever you have on the inside ought to come out every now and again on the outside. That's why sometimes, church, when you at your job, you ought to just break out into praise. That's why, church, when you're driving in your car, you ought to just break out into praise, church, because whatever you have on the inside ought to come out on the outside. Folk at the grocery store ought to be thinking that something's wrong with you. You ought to be pushing your basket one day, and all of a sudden, when you think about Jesus and all that he's done, think, oh, come on, somebody. It ought to be that you just break out. Anybody ever just broke out into praise? See, folk may not understand. Matter of fact, if you're somewhere and you don't want to jeopardize your job, the songwriter said, if you can't say a word. If you can't say a word, you just... See, sometimes you can't just break out. Your people may not understand that on your job. But I dare whatever you have on the inside to start manifesting and coming out on the outside. When God says pray for that person, pray for that person. When God says move, church, you ought to move. See, it ought to be what you have on the inside where it comes out on the outside. Can I talk about it a little bit more this morning, church? See, when I think about being wiped out or troubles or tragedy, I think of encounters. Because watch this, anything that moves encounters against something. A boat on the water will encounter the waves. An airplane, church, will encounter against the wind. But the plane and the boat, church, have something on the inside that will keep it from being at the mercy of the winds and the waves on the outside. See, if the boat or the plane loses its power on the inside, then it loses its ability to control its way through the encounter. And church, can I say this for whatever it's worth? The reason some of us are losing the battle, the reason some of us are not able to reap the harvest that God has promised us, is because we're not exercising what we have on the inside. Oh, come on, somebody. In order to get what we need done on the outside. See, we counter all kinds of stuff, church. Every day we as birds encounter something. Oh, somebody should have said amen right there. We encounter people. That's a job within itself, amen? We encounter problems. We encounter satanic forces and all kinds of devilish and diabolical situations, church. But as I said, unless you have something on the inside to encounter the things you have on the outside, you will literally lose your way. Let's look at the text. Let's look at the text. Christ here, he gives us a divine invitation to come into his presence. He calls us to come. But watch this, church. You cannot come to Christ without first looking at yourself. I knew it would get a little quiet right there. Because we have to first see the need to come to Christ. When I was gang banging and selling dope, I didn't see the need for Christ. I didn't see the need for anything else because I believed that I had it going on. Anybody before Christ thought you had it going on? Rolling right, living right, looking right, but little did you know that what you had was in no comparison to what Christ has done for you. But we first have to look at ourselves, look in the mirror, because watch this. When he says come, he calls us to a self-awareness or a self-awakening, church. See, there is no way of coming to him without exposing who you really are. It's getting tight in here. It's getting tight. See, because watch this. When we come into God's presence, we see who he is. And then the spotlight shines on us, forcing us to take a look at, watch this, who we thought. Who we thought we are. Well, watch this, church. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people. And watch this. Most of us church folk, I said church folk, can see the faults, the failures, and the fallacies in others. But when you really get into God's presence, he begins to show you. Now watch this, church. Watch this. I know this don't happen at Shiloh, but there are some church folk that think because they've been walking with the Lord for a little while that they are better than some other people. Come on. I know it, Pastor Armstrong. I know this don't happen at Shiloh. But there's some folk, church, that think because they're on the deacon board that they are high and mighty. There's some folk in the choir that think because they sing they're high and mighty, church. But I've come to tell you that all of us in here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, sometimes we, God cleans us up and he washes us up and he fixes us up. We begin to walk with an arrogant walk. I thank God it don't happen here in Shiloh. I got to keep saying that because I'm talking about some other churches. But there's some folk church that think because God has done something for them, that they have the ability to look down on some people. But I've come to tell you on this morning that if you have that wonder working power on the inside, that it would cause you to treat God's people on the outside like he himself has treated them. So we got to be careful, church, that we don't get this to this state of mind where we get arrogant. But we always have to be humble and submissive. And that's why, church, you always got to pray for your pastor and pray for the first lady, because we can never get to the point. See, watch this, church. There's some folk that figure because they're older than them that they can't tell me nothing. Come on, church. Y'all praying with me on this morning. Remember, I'm not talking. If you know some folk at other churches, you can say amen. Amen simply means I agree. Because see, folk getting quiet because they are, we don't have to hear Shiloh. But church, if you know some folk that have behaved that way, that's why you got to pray for the first family. You got to lift up the first family. You got to bless the first family. God has sent him here through all that he's been through to come be a blessing to Trenton, New Jersey, and Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. And somebody ought to be glad, because we all know some pastors that was not qualified. Did I say that? See, we got to be careful, church, how we treat the man of God at all times. But watch this. He tells us here that there needs to be something on the inside. And he calls us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've been through, he calls us to leave something. All of us in here have to walk away from something in order to grab the hand of Jesus. All of us in here still need to walk away from something in order to grab the hand of Jesus. He calls you right where you are. Isn't that beautiful, church? Doesn't matter what you've been through in life. Doesn't matter how much wrong you've done. Doesn't matter how much time you've spent. Doesn't matter how many people you wrong. God calls you right where you are. I don't know about you, but he called me out of some mess. And your story may not be my story, and my story may not be your story, but one thing I can assure you, all of us in here have been wrapped up or entangled in some mess. That's why we come to church, because all of us in here need to take a bath, a spiritual bath. Church. See, watch this. The church ain't nothing but a hospital for sick folk. And all of us in here are sick in one way, shape, or another, church. Some of us are in ICU. Some of us are in the different wards. Some of us are 5150, but church, all of us in here got some mess. Got some skeletons in our closet. Some of them still got meat on them, church. See, we come to church all holy, high, and sanctified, but I'm looking for that Christian, and God is looking for that Christian that says, you know what? I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Let me move on, church. He talks about leaving something. I'm glad he calls us right where we are. He calls us out where we were, and he says, come to me. And watch this, the beautiful thing about it, he calls us out some stuff that we don't want to come out of. Come on. See, it's one thing to say yes, Lord, but it's another thing to be kicking and screaming. See, we understand sometimes the blessing, church, is not easy. But Jacob learned that when he wrestled with the angel, church, and some of us right now and on today are still wrestling with the fact that we're not quite where we used to be. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Where we used to be. But if you think about it, church, if you think about it, all of us in here at different stages in our life and our Christianity walk. And so I just want to tell somebody in here to get to know him. No matter what you have done, no matter how many years you've been in the sanctuary, get to know him. And watch this, church. He takes us from what we really don't want to walk away from, but I'm so glad that he'll take me where he wants me to be, even while I'm kicking and screaming. Well, let me make it a little bit more plain. My desire was not to be a preacher. My desire was not to be married. I thought, and other people thought, that I would have multiple children by multiple women because of the lifestyle that I was living. And so what happened, church, is that I wasn't ready to come out, and there were some things I was still battling with. But by way of another person, God used them to get me. And see, all of us in here, church, whether you were born in church or whether you've been here 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years, everybody in here got something within you that you have not turned over to the Lord. Oh, can we be honest? If nothing else, we're in a church. Okay, I guess everybody in here got it all together. No problems, no issues. But if you got some problems in your life that you're not ashamed of, then tell God, thank you for saving me. But he tells us to leave. Just cleave. Come on, let's go. Come unto me. But watch this. This is the same thing that he talks about in Genesis when he tells us to cleave. When he calls us to cleave. See, watch this, church. Nobody determines their parents, who their parents are, but you can determine who your mate is. Watch this. And your mate has to have enough power to pull you from your past and push you towards your future. Come on, somebody. Your mate has to have enough power to pull you from your past and push you towards your future. See, watch this. Tell somebody right now, whomever sit next to you, say, the day that you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. See, when he calls, you come running. He calls us to an inner rest because he knows the life struggles that we have, the life issues that we have. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now watch this. Throughout my years, church, I've discovered that there are some things that are going to make us tired. Oh my God. Our wife sometimes is going to make us tired. Don't. If your wife is here, don't look to the left or the right. You just look straight. Don't tell on yourself now. Just look straight. And if you can't say amen, just tap your toes in your shoes if I'm talking to you. But watch this then. Our husbands can get on our nerves sometimes. Our children, church, can make us tired. A job can make us tired. Ministry can make us tired. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody that gets tired from the various things that life has to offer? Pastoring can make you tired. But it's that fire, Pastor Armstrong, that's going to keep you pushing. Ministry can make you tired. Yeah, I know it is the pastor, but the first lady bears just as much burden as the pastor does because her job is not easy too, church. And that's why we ought to continue to lift them up. But God knew that stuff would make us tired. God knows that at times the labor of life can be draining, difficult, and demanding, which makes us tired. And watch this, since life, church, has a way of making us tired, God calls us unto him. He gives us this clarification. He says, take my yoke. Watch this, church. A yoke is a wooden frame that fits over the shoulders of draft animals, harnessing them to each other that they may pull together. Watch this. Let me give you a picture. The way it would look in biblical agriculture is when they would plow the field, they would take an oxen and yoke them together. One weak oxen and one strong oxen, that they may plow the field evenly, church. And watch this, you don't want two strong oxen together, and you definitely don't want two weak oxen together. See, watch, this was done so when the weak ox grew weary, there was some help. That the ox had reinforcement, that the ox had some help. Is there anybody in here today that needs just a little bit more reinforcement? Is there anybody in here that's glad you have not had to be married by yourself, raise children by yourself, suffer by yourself? Because anybody who has yoked up with Christ, you got some reinforcement. He says, I want to reinforce you, church. He said, I don't know about you, but I need someone, something to make sure that I got some help carrying this load of life. The load can be strenuous, church. The load can be demanding, huh? But God is saying if we come unto him and yoke up with him, then we don't have to do this thing by ourselves. Is there anybody in here that recognizes if it had not been for Jesus that was on your side? You don't have to say nothing, but just raise your hand and say, I never would have made it, church, without Jesus. Jesus is saying, yoke up with me, I'll give you some rest. I'll make your load easier. But watch this, church. Watch this. Jesus is not telling us that he will reduce or remove the burden. But what he's telling us is that he will reinforce the one that's carrying the burden. Oh, somebody should have got a little happy right there, because Jesus is telling us that he will not remove it, but he will reinforce. In other words, he will give you something that you didn't have in order to carry what you got in life. Amen?
Amen.
See, church, I've discovered that he does not make it lighter, but he makes you stronger. Anybody here got a little stronger in your walk with the Lord? Is there anybody here that's got a little better with your walk with the Lord? He's saying that I will make you stronger if you yoke up with me, because you are no longer carrying it by yourself. So Christ is saying, yoke up with me. I'll make you stronger. It doesn't remove the burden or even reduce it, but Christ is saying, I got your back. I love you. I died for you. And then watch this, church. You don't have to know how strong you are. You won't really know how strong you are until you're going through. Oh, come on, somebody. Anybody ever went through? You're not going to really understand your capability or God's capability until you are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And then, anybody ever been in a situation and when you came out, you look back and realize it wasn't as bad as you thought it was while you were in the midst? Oh, come on. When we're in the middle, church, we crying, slobbering and slobbing. But when we come out of the trial, the trouble, we look back, church, and say, thank God for what he's done in our life. See, we get strong as a result of our trials. And we look back and we think, man, I could have lost my mind. I would have died if it had not been for Christ. As a matter of fact, church, I'm reminded of Pastor Marvin Sapp. Lost his father and lost his wife and all kinds of trials and tribulations that struck that man of God and his family. And out of his trial came triumph when he wrote a song. I don't know if y'all heard it out here in Shiloh, but it said that I never would have made it without you. Marvin Sapp says, I would have lost my mind, but now I see that you were there for me, church. And watch this, I guarantee that Marvin did not understand that that trial will cause for triumph. And I don't know about you, but I've been blessed by that song, because I realized that I never would have made it. Now watch this, church. Watch this as I'm in my closing. You don't want to yoke up with someone who will make life more difficult. You don't want to yoke up with some folk that's going to make life more difficult for you. Women, can I talk to the women? Women, when you need someone in your life, women, you want somebody that's going to make things better for you. You want somebody that's praying for you, that loves the Lord. Matter of fact, can I speak to the young folk in the house? Don't even get in relationships right now. The only relationship that you ought to be engaging in is a relationship with Jesus. But women, you want somebody that's going to pray for you. You want somebody that when you get sick, they're going to lay hands on you and say, in the name of Jesus. You want somebody that loves the Lord. I won't forget about men. Can I talk to you? I got to talk to the men, since I am an equal opportunity preacher. I got to talk to the men. Men, can I talk to you real quick, men? Men, watch this. You need somebody that's going to help you in your life. Because remember, God says she is a helpmate. So watch this. Because think about it, y'all. All of us in here can do bad. Uh-oh. We don't need nobody to get linked up with in order to do bad, because we can do bad all by ourselves. See, we got to be careful because some of us up in here are yoked up with the wrong people. There's some folk that need to leave here today and press delete on your phone. There's some folk in here today that need to press delete on your Facebook, your MySpace. There's some folk in here. See, y'all got to be like the insurance commercial. You know, when they try to involve you in their circle, you got to say, I'm sorry, I can't take that ride. Y'all don't know the commercial. There's a commercial where I believe it's Geico. And in the commercial, there's a man standing outside and there's three beautiful young ladies that pull up in the car and they're inviting him to get in the car. And he asks them, he says, well, who is your insurance carrier? And they said another insurance. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I cannot take that ride. And church, I've discovered that there's some of us that are riding with the wrong folk, talking to the wrong folk. You can't just let anybody in your circle, church, because God says that I am the one. And you cannot just invite anybody. So you got to be careful who you yoked up with, church. Because God is saying that I need you to come unto me. Because I'm going to give you rest. And church, in my closing, Christ is saying to us. He's saying to us, take my yoke. And learn from me. In other words, church, Christ is saying, get to know him. No matter how long you've been in the ministry, get to know him. Because you're still living, there's so much more that God has for you. So he's saying, get to know him. He's saying, let me teach you. He's saying, let me be your coach. Let me coach you and walk you into victory. And I know for some of us in here, it may look bad right now. Things may be a little bleak right now, and it looks like you're having a hard time winning. But church, I've discovered that in the middle of our crisis, we have to understand that Christ is. Somebody missed that, church. In the middle of your crisis, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what struggles you have in your life, no matter how bad it's been, no matter how long it's been, in the middle of our crisis, we got to acknowledge and remember that Christ is, church. Christ is our Redeemer, church. Christ is our Deliverer. Christ is our Restorer. Christ is our Rock. Christ is, church, our peace, our refuge, our Waymaker, our Savior, our salvation. You got to remember, church, that in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your trouble, you got to remember that Christ is. 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 In the middle of your trouble, Christ is. And I just want to encourage somebody in here this morning that Christ is. Whatever it is you want to fill in after that, then he is. And I just want to encourage you on this morning that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you don't know him as as your personal Lord and Savior. Now is the time for you to come out of whatever it is you in. Some of us in here have not yet got to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I'm asking, I'm pleading with you on this morning. Come now. Wherever you are, come now. This is a life impacting decision. There's only two places we will go when we leave here. That's heaven or hell. Come now and all over the building and say, today I'm going to give my life to Christ. Young people, seasoned people, this is your opportunity. Take that yoke of Jesus. Amen. I see you coming. I see you coming. Amen. Amen. Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? Is there another in the building that has not given their life to Christ? Then come now. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, preacher? I've already given my life to Jesus, but I've been struggling. If that's you, just wave your hand. I just want to pray for you. If you've been struggling, and watch this, we always equate struggling with something horrific. Could just be struggling with tithe, struggling with offering, struggling with obedience. And I want to pray for you all over the building. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you've done on today, God. You said when one comes, all of heaven rejoices. God, we thank you right now for the lifted hand, God, that's saying, here I am in need of prayer. I pray right now that you would touch in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Move mightily by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. We bind right now the hand of the enemy that has tried to set these people back, God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that your power will be loosed in this place. In the name of Jesus. God, we pray right now, Father, that you would have your way, Lord God. Everybody who's lifted their hands, God, we're praying right now for a new fire in the name of Jesus. God, whatever it is, the struggle, whatever it is that they're enduring, Lord God, God, help them to understand that if they faint not, they will reap. And so, God, we just thank you right now in advance for the victory in all of our lives. Thank you for this great man of God and his wife, Lord God. Bless them in the name of Jesus in every way, shape, and form. And God, continue to have your hand on the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. You said from height to height, God. And God, we're looking for great things in the name of Jesus. We love you and we praise you. Just put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise in this place.